How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Crown Jewel yesterday. I love an afternoon pay-per-view. There's nothing better than watching wrestling at 1 o'clock in the afternoon rather than at night. Listen, I'm getting a little old. We'll talk about Crown Jewel and the fallout from there. It was a show. It was something. AEW Collision last night. I have a lot of comments to make about this show. It's a very interesting time for AEW. 2025 is going to be very telling for the future of this company. And AEW and NXT go head-to-head this week. I don't know what that's going to do as far as numbers go. But very interesting, this Crown Jewel show. It really wasn't wasn't like a linear storytelling show. It was more of a, you know, just matches. Nothing other than the bloodline, you know, affected continuity here. And that was the big story, was the bloodline feud continuing and the return of Sami Zayn into the bloodline. Did you like that? I thought that was pretty cool. I'm glad they brought him back. I'm just curious where they go from here. Because obviously it's War Games, and it looks like it's going to be a 4-on-4 and not a 5-on-5, unless they decide to bring in two more family members. I like that Sammy is an honorary Oos at this point. He's part of that story of the original bloodline, which I find hysterical. But we have a lot to talk about today. This and a whole lot more. There's a lot of news that came out, including Ring of Honor and the potential TV deal coming up. All this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. I'm debating what I should do next. You know, my son Hunter is hanging out in the studio. What's going on, Hunter?
Nothing.
Nothing? Yeah. He's hanging out with me.
Yeah.
So you're going to decide. Should I talk about the news first, or should I talk about Crown Jewel, the pay-per-view from yesterday?
I think you should do the pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going now. We're going with the pay-per-view. My other producer now is guiding the show. Yesterday, Crown Jewel, 1 o'clock pay-per-view here on the East Coast. Nothing better than that. I got a nice drink in my hand. I had a nice glass of wine. I turned this on. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm on my couch and I'm watching this. It doesn't matter how great the show is or how bad the show is. I just really enjoy an afternoon wrestling show. This is how I want to consume all my pay-per-views. I don't want to sit there till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock if you're lucky. The 6-man tag match was the first match on this card. I was surprised by the placement. What did you think of that placement, MJ?
I was a little surprised too. I was like, Andrew's gonna go, oh great, watch this match and then check out.
No. I wasn't doing that. I watched all of it.
But I get what. Yeah, it was surprising until I saw the end and I said, oh, this didn't have a big booming story coming out of it. So putting it first was fine.
Yeah, and hindsight, they want people to go home happy, right? And there was a lot of unhappy moments in this match. So pretty much the story was Roman's return. He looked great. He was shredded.
Like chiseled. Yeah.
He looked incredible. Mm-hmm. Roman comes out. I don't necessarily care for that new intro he has.
There's
too many stops. There's too much stop and go. Just let it play out. He comes out.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It was 20 after the top of the hour when the matches started.
Yeah.
When the actual bell rang.
Yeah, it took 20 minutes.
Yeah, it took a good 8 minutes of Michael Cole introducing the show and setting everything up, and then those entrances. Jeez.
Yeah, very
long.
Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and Tama Tonga defeated Roman and the Usos, and Roman took the pin. And that was the big story here. That was big. That was very surprising. People did not imagine Roman was going to take the pin and lose. Roman took the pin. This also led to the return of Sami Zayn, because it was, where will he align himself with? That was a big story here for Sami. And Sami picked the original Bloodline to side with, obviously. And
he more sided with Jay.
He more sided with Jay.
Yeah.
But there was a moment here where Solo's in the center of the ring. Everybody's on the corners. They're ready to attack him. Sammy goes for a kick. And Roman goes for a spear. And they just... Sammy kicked the crap out of Roman Reigns. I mean, he laid him in. You know, this is leading into War Games. And I think that's great. And this is where they have to go. Now, is it a 4-on-4? Or, like you suggested, do they put...
I gave you my theory.
You gave me your theory where it's going to be Cody on one side also. And Kevin Owens on the other. Now, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I like that this is a family matter. Sammy's allowed. He's allowed in. He was given a pass. He was allowed into that crew. So I want them to stick to this. But you know what else is also awesome? Like, I was watching these guys in that opening match, and I'm thinking, how great is it that they are, you know, these guys, I'm sure they fought like this as kids, you know? And your career is doing this with your cousins and having a blast doing it. I think that's tremendous. That tickles me. But this match went 16 minutes. This is further continuing the storyline. We'll see where they go from here. Fatal 4-way tag team match. Jade, Bianca defeated Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Kairi Sane, Io Sky, Lash Legend, and Jakara Jackson to retain the titles. This was a fun match. I enjoyed this. It was a nice display of the women in the match. Jade looks incredible. Bianca looks incredible. And you're starting to see that story being told.
I think they got lost halfway through this match. There was one point where I don't think there was one person that knew who was legal.
They did.
Announcers.
Listen, match-wise, it was whatever. But physically, I mean, everybody looked like a million bucks here. They all look great.
I really love Io.
Yeah, she's fantastic. So fantastic. Seth Rollins defeated Bronson Reed. I'm curious if they're going to continue this story. I think they will based on how they did the ending. Bronson got busted open at one point. Do you know what was the spot that did that to him?
He hit the side of the steel steps, I do.
Was that it? Or like, I don't know if he got it there or he got it at a different point and they just used that as the story.
Yeah, they might have. I don't know, but they were all over, so it could have been in several places. But I think it was those steel steps.
I'll tell you, though, Seth coming back, much needed on that Raw roster with CM Punk out.
Well, do we just CM Punk come back in a couple weeks now that this Crown Jewel show?
I would imagine he would come back in a couple weeks. I would imagine he would show up at War Games, at least, because that's when he returned last year. That was the big story when I got a text message from somebody at that company 10 minutes before, and they said, are you watching the paper? I said, yeah, my whole family's here. Everybody over my house. He goes, keep watching. And he goes, are you
still
watching?
Something interesting is happening.
And I think I messaged like the boys chat. You know, we got this boys chat here for like everybody that's involved with the podcast. And I was like, are you guys watching? Because I just got a very interesting, I had no idea until you know, that conversation. But I think he'll definitely show up. Take your pills, MG. Your alarm's going off. I like that Seth and Bronson are tied together. Bronson looked like a million bucks, and they did a good job of creating a monster here. And that's the key. When you got somebody like this, you want to create a monster, and they're doing that. We'll see where they go from here. This match, I could say, I did not enjoy. Liv Morgan defeated the WWE Women's Champion Nia Jax to win the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. This went 8 minutes. What were your thoughts on this?
This was what it was. And as far as that, I mean, it was there to tell the story. And I think what they're doing is they're moving. It sounds like they're going to go with the Tiffany Stratton cashing in on Nia Jax based on the way they did this. Well, and that was all this was about.
What confused me was Nia was annoyed that Tiffany came out to cash in, right?
Yeah.
But
even though I thought she would be there from the beginning.
But wait, she told her to cash in on Liv.
Right. But she didn't want her to do it in the match? Is that what?
No, I think she told her, like, hey, cash in on Liv.
mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Part of the issue I have is, if she would have entered the match, what title would have been on the line? Is it the Crown Jewel title? Is it one of the? It was very confusing.
Oh,
from
you
that,
know what?
That.
What a great mm-hmm. mess up, right? She goes to cash in and doesn't specify which one, and the ref thinks it's the Crown Jewel one. So now she won the useless Crown Jewel championship. That's a great. You know what? That's a creative way to get yourself out of having the briefcase out there. I think she's going to cash in on Nia, and that'll be a big moment. And then you have a program between babyface Tiffany and a heel Nia.
Yeah, great. And I think Tiffany needs to be babyface. She's so over with everyone, so it makes sense.
After this match, this Kevin Owens, Randy Orton stuff, I want you to give me your thoughts on this when we come back from our break. Because what are they doing here now?
I think this might be leading into them taking sides in the bloodline thing.
Yeah.
Because that's where this all started from.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going there. You know, it's a fine avenue to go down. I don't know. I want it to stay between them. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about this. I want to talk about Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. I want to talk about where they go from there. We also have LA Knight retaining. And the main event, Cody and Gunther, to talk about. Which, I like that match. It was a nice, standard match. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's pick it up with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. This match never really officially started. They were brawling everywhere. There was a really fun ref stunner spot. That ref spun in circles when he took that stunner. Never seen anything like it. That was awesome. There was a big moment where Kevin Owens got on top of the balcony and jumped onto Randy Orton, laying him out on the table. I'm guessing, you know, he's going to go away for a little bit after that. Maybe a couple of weeks. Take
Sounds
him off
like
TV.
It.
Yeah, take him off TV for a couple of weeks. And then he'll come back and they could do something. But interesting way they did this match. And it was a little risky because that crowd really loves Randy Orton. And they didn't give them a Randy Orton match. They gave them whatever this was.
They did give him an entrance. They did give
you
him one
the
of
entrance,
the best
yes.
entrances
yeah.
I've ever heard. Because that crowd, this
loves
is how
him.
I know that Saudi Arabia is here to stay. Is they're into it all now. When they first started doing these Saudi Arabia shows, there wasn't a lot of, they didn't seem to know the product. Now everybody knows the product.
Dude, do you remember that first one?
Yeah.
Where they were moving the furniture. They were moving furniture throughout the entire show. You had, and you had couches set up for like the special families.
Yes.
Very different crowd now. Terrible. I mean, Listen, you know, they started this how many years ago?
Five. No.
You know,
it's been five.
It's been five. Okay, so things have changed over the last 5 years. No, more than that, six.
The anniversary of the tarmac debacle was 5 years this week.
That wasn't the first one, though.
No, I don't. So maybe it is six.
Maybe it's like 6 years.
No, it was the second one, but they had done one in the same year. They were doing two a year. So that one was the second one they did that year.
Yeah, they figured out how to present this, and there's certain people that they really love, like Randy Orton. I thought this went over well for him. Triple threat match. LA Knight defeated Carmelo Hayes and Andrade to retain the title. This was short, too. They won 9 minutes. A lot of people thought Carmelo was going to win it or Andrade was going to win it, but LA retained.
I thought Carmelo was going to win it. I thought this match was really good. This was probably the
good.
Best work match on the card.
I don't think LA Knight gets as much credit as he should. I really don't. This is a guy that got over all on his own 2 years ago. He has been consistent for them. He's unique in the sense that he's a throwback to an era that we grew up watching wrestling. Even those punches, you know, he does those big wind-up punches, and his promos are very late 90s, early 2000s, and not in a bad way. It's refreshing.
Can I give you an opinion on LA Knight?
Yeah, give me.
That I find interesting. This is like the old Hogan style. He works heel, but he's a babyface, and he's always going to be a babyface.
Yeah.
You get that out of that?
Yeah,
too?
I get that. Yeah, I totally got that.
He is his attitude and everything he does is babyface. And it reminds me of that early rock stuff he did. But yeah, but I get that. But people just are going to treat him like a complete babyface.
Yeah,
no matter how heelish he is.
I like him. I think this was a good decision. I think it's good that he has that title. I think that's a positive. Mm-hmm. Undisputed Championship. Cody, my son's favorite. Hunter, you met Cody.
Yeah.
You met him at the Garden.
Yeah.
And what did he say to you?
I don't remember.
Yeah. You know what he said to Cody? He goes, my dad says you're winning the title. And he looked at me and he's like, I don't know. This is the WrestleMania prior. And what'd you call Dominic?
Domino by accident.
And Rhea loved it. Rhea goes, that's what I'm going to call him, Dirty Domino. He goes up to him and goes, what up, Domino? Undisputed champion Cody defeated the World Heavyweight Champion Gunther to win the Men's Crown Jewel Championship. Now, they don't get to keep this title because it has 50 carats of diamonds and all the rubies in the Middle East are on this thing. It looks like a chandelier. You don't get to keep it, but you get to keep the ring. You get a ring for this. This was a very WWE main event, false finishes, big kickouts, and I thought they did that Bret Hart and essentially the ending was the Bret Hart Piper match.
Roddy Piper, yep.
Right, what was that? WrestleMania 8.
Yes.
Right, was it 8?
And that was yeah, it was, and that was the exact ending it reminded me of.
So
I've seen that.
He was in a choke
before.
And he pushed back and he got the pin.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody looked good.
And we've seen that ending. We've seen that ending before and recently a lot. I remember they used to do that a lot with Shayna Baszler matches.
Yes, that is every Shayna match. They do that spot. But again, that's a false finish in Shayna's match. This actually was the finish.
Until they don't. I think Kairi Sane won a couple matches against her.
What did you think of this match?
I thought it started out. It was very plotting at first. It was what it should have been. But once they got going and once Cody started taking those chops, I thought this match was awesome. It was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. Gunther's great. He's a great world champion. But, you know, the issue here is Cody's championship is very much that is the title.
See, I don't see it that way, but because they're on, as long as they stay on different brands, it's fine. For this year, he's the better champion. I think that's how they're going to have to look at this.
I don't know how they're going to. I mean, it's only going to change when, let's say, CM Punk gets that title, right? That's when I think it'll change. I right now the big story is Cody being the world champion, and Gunther is like that's the hardworking title again, the world title. So, do you feel I don't feel like it's an equal balance of champions.
I guess if you look at the lineage from that aspect, I get what you mean.
No, I'm talking about the presentation. I mean, as far as it's presented to the fans.
See, I don't see that then. I think they're pretty equal. As long as they're on the top of their specific shows and they're the focal point of those shows, I'm fine with it.
Did you feel the same way when it was Damian? When Damian had the title?
Yeah, because he was at the top of the show. He was kind of presented as the main character of the show, even though there was other guys around him.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah. But I think Gunther has been presented so strong this past 2 years that, yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all.
So a few notes from this. They brought over a very large production team this time around for the show.
Because they just got done as we're going live, they just got done recording Raw.
Yeah.
So Raw's from over there.
Yeah. So they did two. They're filming Raw will air obviously tomorrow, but today. But it'll air tomorrow.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. The daylight savings confused you. You're now missing days, not hours. But they brought over a very large production team because they had to do two shows. They also did a two-hour pre-show, much like the NFL and College Game Day. Looks like this is going to be a thing now for these two-hour shows. A lot of it is that WWE experience in Riyadh, and that's where the titles are going to stay. Because obviously, they do not want to hand these titles to a wrestler to travel with.
No.
And put it in the suitcase, and God forbid it gets stolen. And then Liv and Cody were given rings here.
Those rings were nice. I think they sized them the same, and they gave Liv the ring, and she was like swimming on her hand,
and Cody's
could barely
fit.
Get his on.
Yeah, Cody was struggling to put that thing on. Overall, it was okay. It was fine. It was a show. There was nothing major, nothing crazy. There was no Bill Goldberg. Even though Goldberg was on ESPN. What was he on? The SEC Network.
It's on the SEC Network's pre-show for the college games.
Yeah, so it looks like 2025, Bill Goldberg will be retiring. He's going to have his retirement match. Now, I don't know if he's only having one match or a series of matches here, but this is something Bill wanted to do that Vince had promised him. And it wasn't delivered, and now he wants to retire this way. And I'm curious what they do with this. Will it be Gunther? Will that be his retirement?
He speculated that that's what sounds like. That's what who he would like to do it against, and we'll see. But yeah,
I don't know. Is he the guy? Is he the best guy for him to do that match with? I mean, I'm okay with
as
that.
As long as he goes out on his back, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. If he somehow beats whoever he's facing, then I might have an issue with it.
I always say, I will hold my opinion till it's done, whether he wins or loses. I like to hold my opinion till it's over because
It also depends on the story they tell while they're doing the match too.
Definitely that. Definitely, I think the Gunther stuff would be good for them to do. I think that's pretty cool. Also, Rhea Ripley suffered an orbital bone fracture last week. They took her out on NXT. They presented it. She was in a parking lot. I don't know how far she's out. I think she should come out with like some gnarly mask and start wrestling with the face guard. Remember the Undertaker Phantom of the Opera mask when he broke his orbital? I think that's what she should have.
Character.
Yeah. Make it like a, you the know what? Character? Do like a grotesque mask, like a Phantom of the Opera, just one side.
Mm-hmm.
Then she could go into the gorgeous the Cody Rhodes thing where he was too handsome and he thought he was heinous.
Yes.
You could do that. Fantastic stuff. When we come back, a few more notes here and AEW news. We're going to talk about Collision and their pay-per-view coming up and a whole lot more. Also, ECW Arena will have another show, NXT 2300. We have the lineup for that. A lot of ECW guys. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. A few more notes here. I totally missed this. Baron Corbin, Indy Hartwell, and Tegan Nox depart WWE. They were released. Corbin's case, they chose not to renew his contract. So I think he's free to go. And Indy and Tegan both have 90-day non-competes. This came on a Friday. I'm surprised about Baron Corbin. I'm very surprised about Baron Corbin. Did you expect him to get released? I thought that guy's like a lifer.
It just feels like they just never have anything for him. And it never, whatever they do with him, it just kind of stalls.
They've had a handful of opportunities. One was when he was broken, he lost all of his money.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the best character he had
On TV. But also, his original character was fantastic in NXT.
The way they presented him was great. And then I think he came to the main roster, and Vince tried to do the Vince thing with him, and it didn't work.
And it did not
and
work.
At one point, they ended up blaming all the ratings woes on him.
On him,
remember
that? Yeah. So I don't know. Surprise. I mean, where does he go? What does he do? Does he show up in AEW?
Remember, this guy had like a 6 month or year long program with Roman Reigns at one point.
Yeah.
So
he fed him dog food, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a high that was a very low point to that whole thing
of that era in WWE. Yeah. So Marco Stunt has also announced that he is retiring. So then that's that. On Friday he announced.
I found that interesting. I found that was interesting because he was part of that original AEW lineup, and he was a big part. He was one of those secondary characters that they pulled from the indies, along with Orange Cassidy and even Jungle Boy.
Yeah, that 2019 AEW, 2020 AEW was very interesting. Very different company today. Talking about AEW, definitely. Let's go into Collision. I like Collision. I did not love this show. This show did not do it for me. I'm just saying that. And I'm generally very high on Collision. I like that it's my Saturday night wrestling show where it's a lot of wrestling. You know, they injected a lot of storyline here, but...
And that's why you didn't like it, I think.
I don't know. And I think storyline is needed. Maybe it was me. Maybe I just was watching in a very different mood. I just didn't love it. Private Party came out to celebrate. That's how it started. We saw them win the titles. The Young Bucks ran away. They're off TV. This was on...
With all their shredded documents.
They were shredding documents like it's Watergate.
Still my favorite part.
they're burning documents like the fall of Saigon, you know? They're just destroying everything on Dynamite. But they came out. They thanked the Bucks for pushing them, which was interesting. And then they got in the face of FTR. And... This was interesting. I guess that's the next program for them. FTR and Private Party.
There's a tag. They're doing a four-way at the pay-per-view, and there's going to be a series of matches to determine who it is. Yeah. Determine who it'll be.
Yeah. Do we have the card here? Put on that pay-per-view card on the notes too, so I could kind of touch on that. Started it. You got a Day of the Dead match. Thunder Rosa defeated Harley Cameron. Essentially, it was a hardcore match. Thunder looked good.
I thought Harley Cameron looked good, too.
Harley looked good, too. Yeah. They gave this some time. It was nice. Kyle Fletcher defeated Commander. So this was the first match with his shaved head. This is becoming an interesting story, right? With Aussie Open. What happens here? With Mark Davis. That seems to be the story. That seems to be the program. Why was Mark Davis out for so long? What was the injury?
Was it a knee? I can't remember. It might have been a knee.
My son is making notes here. This is what he drew while we're doing the show here. I think this guy should be a wrestler. He kind of looks like Kyle Fletcher here.
Before his haircut?
Yeah, before his haircut. So, I like that they're doing something with Kyle Fletcher. He's fantastic. He's young. He has a look. He's great in the ring. I'm glad that they recognize it. Mark Davis is a good first opponent for this new version of him to kind of end that story. But I don't know what happens with Mark Davis moving forward. Where do you put him? I also felt that everybody looked the same on the show. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot... Everybody's in street clothes. Everybody looked the same to me. That was part of my problem. You know who doesn't look the same? These two. Lance Archer and Brian Cage. They defeated Sean Smith and Joe Kays. This was more of a display match for these two.
Yeah,
they just
they were
murdered
just playing
them.
With their food.
Yeah, they were playing with their food. That's exactly how I would describe it. They were, you know, they're a dominant tag team. Brian Cage is the Ring of Honor TV champion. There's a lot of speculation as to what's going on with Ring of Honor. Chris Jericho's their world champion. Brian Cage is their... if you are getting a TV deal, right? And everything is about first impressions and presentation. You know, Brian Cage is an impressive-looking dude. He's a guy you want a title on. Chris Jericho, one of the most recognizable names in professional wrestling, he's another one that you want to put a title on. Maybe they're just going to go with the same old what they did with AEW with their initial TV. Put the titles on some pretty big names and see where it goes from there.
Now that we heard about the TV speculation of TV for ROH, that makes sense. They're going to put it on Jericho.
Now, a lot of people ask me about this. I don't know anything about it. I haven't been active. I had a death in the family, so I haven't been, you know, doing this for the last 2 weeks. But I was very surprised to hear about it because I reached out to somebody with WBD and they didn't know about Ring of Honor. So I don't know if this is a WBD thing. A lot of people are assuming this goes on True TV, which I think that's a great channel for them to be on. And I think that's a good builder for that station because they're going sports centric in primetime. But I don't know. And if this is the case, I think this is good. I think this is a good move to get them on TV. But if not, then I'm curious where it goes. Lance Archer and Brian Cage defeated them. John Moxley came out to his Death Rider with his Death Riders. They came out to warn Orange Cassidy. But the games have already begun. He started putting over Yuta because he was from Philly like Cassidy. And then didn't he start hitting him?
Yeah, when Orange Cassidy came out, he sent Yuta after him. And Yuta, because they've been friends before, didn't want to attack him. So he started slapping him until he went out there. This is an then abusive
Action,
relationship.
Then Action Andretti would come out, and then he got jumped by Pac. Mm-hmm. So that led into mm-hmm. Pac defeating Action Andretti.
Which I really liked that match. I did.
Yeah, that was a good match. Pac is great. I mean, he's fantastic. He really is. He's, you know, there's so many of these guys that when this company started, you could have said, well, he could be a world champion. They could really build with him. They could build with this one. They could build with that one. And I don't know. Pac has been stop and go. Malachi's been stop and go. There's a lot of these guys. Buddy Matthews is super impressive to look at. And really, he's just doing matches. That's it. Nothing else. You also got Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher backstage with Lexi. They said they want to enter the tag team picture and challenge Ricochet to find a partner next week.
I think we know who that partner is going to be.
Mark Davis. No?
I was thinking more of a returning Will Ospreay, but okay.
Okay, maybe Will Ospreay. Okay, like you could do that too. Leo Rush defeated Arya Daivari. You also had Roderick Strong with no mustache defeating Shane Taylor. MJF was shown, I guess, at home, watching very unimpressed. But I don't even know what he was watching. It looked like he wasn't even watching that. I think he was just watching something else. Okay. You got a Mina video package. Mina's coming. Great.
I put that in there for you.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Mina. We also got, it was announced that Private Party would be defending the tag titles in a four-way match at Full Gear. And Mariah May defeated Anna Jay in the main event to retain. It was something.
There. Yeah, it was there.
It was there.
I mean, there was a couple of good things. I think the only really storyline advancement was the Moxley stuff, to be honest with you.
Well, that seems to be the big one.
Yeah. That's the big one. That's carrying the company right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's the one story I want to watch Dynamite and Collision for.
Yeah, because you want to know what happens next, but I hope they keep the suspense up, you know?
Mm-hmm. And because they get fizzled. Adding layers to it.
Yeah.
We need layers.
Here's a card for the show in New Jersey for the pay-per-view. AEW World Champion John Moxley defends against Orange Cassidy. Jay White versus Hangman Page. MJF versus either Adam Page or Roderick Strong. And you got a four-way for the title, for the tag titles. And on Zero Hour, the Costco guy, AJ, boom or doom against QT Marshall. That's a match I'm looking forward to. I don't care what anybody says. They bring the boom. Did you know that?
I did.
That's what they do. My son is singing this while we're doing this. Here's a lineup for Wednesday. I'm looking forward to this. Adam Cole and Malachi Black.
That's going to be a good match.
They wrestled in NXT.
They did.
They did for the title.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And those were fantastic, fantastic matches. Adam, you know, obviously he was hurt, but Adam needs a couple home runs here. I think it's needed for him. And he's gone through a lot. He's had a lot of injuries and no fault of his own, but he needs a home run, and he could have that with Malachi here because Malachi's fantastic. You got a fight without honor. You got Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith versus Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, and Tomohiro Ishii. Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy versus Claudio and Pac. The patriarchy is confronting Hook. Penelope Ford, Jamie Hayter. Takeshi and Kyle Fletcher versus Ricochet and to be determined. Turnbuckle Al or Turnbuckle Dan, one of those guys. And the Hurt Syndicate will appear. This coming off last week's show where Bobby Lashley debuted. He is gigantic.
Looking huge, yes.
He's huge. He was wearing a suit that resembled meat. This man is made out of rocks. I've never seen anybody with that physique. Also, you know who's so impressive? Shelton Benjamin is so good. I don't care what anybody says. 47 years old. Looks like a billion bucks. I hope to see them do a lot more with him. But listen, a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of exciting stuff. When does Shane show up? That's what I'm asking. That's the biggest question, guys.
God.
When is Shane McMahon debuting? You know what? What if they come in? What if the Bucks show up with Shane?
Oh, they come back with their benefactor?
With their benefactor. They were shredding all the documents, and now they show up with Shane McMahon? The consortium was Shane?
No. Please, no.
I just want to see everything explode. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more stuff, and we're going to talk about the show in the ECW arena for NXT. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. As a reminder, you can follow me on X. I do this show along with a billion other things. You can get all the info on there. WWE returns to the ECW Arena. NXT goes to the ECW Arena. NXT 2300 from the ECW Arena. This is going to be a very ECW-heavy show. Last week, I don't know which show I was on with you. You and I were talking about this. And we were mentioning all the people that could show up. And I think they did exactly what I said. Nunzio is going to be there. Rob Van Dam is going to be there. Bubba is going to be there. Dawn Marie is going to be there. And I'm sure some other people, too. I can't imagine that's it.
Well, it just depends on who's available, but yeah.
But the main match here is Trick Williams and Bubba Ray Dudley against Ethan Page and Ridge Holland. That's quite a pairing.
They're going to do all the spots, right? We're going to get the tables.
They're going
to
do all of it.
What's
yeah.
up? And yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get Tony D'Angelo in a meeting with Nunzio. Obviously, they'll do an FBI bit there. I wonder which FBI people show up. What, JT Smith? Wasn't that one?
I believe so.
Yeah, JT Smith. The wrestler. I think. Yeah, JT Smith. There he is. Yeah, he was in the FBI. That's hysterical, by the way. That's great. We'll see. It'll be a fun show. Listen, it's a gimmick show in a gimmick building. And I say that in a good way, not as an insult. And I think that's fun. It'll be great. Have you ever been there?
It's good for the nostalgia.
I've been there. I've been in that building.
I have never been in there. No.
Yeah. It was like a billion degrees when they ran the show there. And it was exactly what you would imagine it to be in that building. My favorite ECW building, not the Hammerstein Ballroom, which I want to talk about that. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Hammerstein Ballroom a little bit. But it's not the Hammerstein. It's the Queen's Elks Lodge. Guys, this was a blast. We'll see y'all next week. Till then. Bye-bye for now.